Okay, well, this is the strangest way I've ever given a presentation. I'm not looking at my audience at all, so I feel a little odd. I'm Lori Howell from Spinney Creek Shellfish. I'm here with my husband, Tom, and together we've run this company since 1983. It's a lot of years. We feel like we've seen all the problems and made all the solutions, and sometimes we go all over again. So we're in the shellfish business, molluscan shellfish business entirely, and our specialty is in depuration. And for the new members of the committee, that's the process where we can take molluscan shellfish, being clams and oysters, that may be in moderately contaminated areas and reclaim them and make them safe for consumption. It's a highly regulated business. There's a lot of FDA and state rules for how this takes place. It's very technically demanding. We have a certified laboratory on site, which is required for daily water samples, required for meat testing, and another number of other things that we do with that laboratory. And there's a lot of other controls that are also in place to ensure that the product that is harvested actually makes it to the plant and gets depurated and is safe when, in fact, it's sold. So what are the benefits? All of the product gets depurated. It gives the shells a very nice, clean appearance. It adds to the safety. It's better for shelf life, and it's particularly in the case of soft shell clams, makes them free of sand and grit. It makes it a very pleasing product and a very fine product in terms of its taste, and the fact that there's no sand in them certainly is a benefit with regard to them. So this is a shot of the inside of one of the tanks where clams are being loaded to be depurated. All of those totes are filled with clams, about 40 pounds in each one, and right down the middle of the tank is an air line. Once it gets filled with water, you could see bubbles coming out. It's just harder to take the picture when it's full of water. Where do we get our shellfish? Mostly from the eastern U.S. We get some oysters from Canada. We buy from shellfish growers. We buy from wild fishermen. We have depuration crews. We work with municipal harvesters. And we grow and harvest some of our own as well. And just some shots here of empty totes being ready to be loaded, and also of two of our veteran harvesters on the flats in the middle of the dig. Depuration has a lot of opportunities that are available for managing the resource. There are many studies that have been done here in Maine that show that it gets the highest yield per digger effort. And one of the things that we do is we survey the flats that are available to us, as well as a lot of the closed flats in the state. We actually go out and we walk those flats, looking at and estimating the amount of resource that's available there. Then we formulate a harvest plan. We put that plan in writing. We send that to the commissioner in terms of our results every quarter. We monitor what the harvesters bring in, and we identify how much the average harvest is. Right now, if a specific growing area falls below a 3-bushel harvest per day per digger, we pull out of that area and we'll move on, allowing the flat to recover, and then we'll go back at a later time, assess it again, and then when it recovers fully, we'll go back and harvest again. And we do report this quarterly to the commissioner. And again, little neck clams and oysters being harvested in a small boat. Just a shot of the inside of our plant. The photos being taken basically from the inside of the one large cooler, and down at the other end, just beyond the pallet, with the totes being brought in, is another small cooler. So we have a lot of infrastructure involved in terms of the refrigeration, as well as some equipment within the plant itself. And there's a lot of handwork involved in this. Earlier it was mentioned the Canadian government wants to have a manual harvest of rockweed to provide jobs. The whole clam industry itself provides a lot of jobs because there is not a good way to mechanize most of what we do. And even once these clams are harvested, we have to go along and pick out the dead and the broken clams, because consumers in New York and Washington and Boston do not want dead clams in what the product that they're buying. We also do a lot of research. We have a long-term product that we're just about finishing up on that's looking at the dynamics of depurating viruses. We have also revived an old project where we were looking at the levels of lead in soft-shell clams to ensure to look at where the lead resides in the animal, it resides in the skin, and whether or not there is reason to close some of those harvest areas. And you'll hear more about this probably later this session. MSC stands for male-specific colophage, and that is an indicator of viral contamination. We started this work in 2006 when the FDA submitted a proposal to the national body that makes the rules for shellfish sanitation. We've worked collaboratively with FDA and with the state, and we have determined that you can safely harvest shellfish from areas that are within a certain proximity to wastewater treatment plants, because we have shown that you can, in the summertime, safely depurate the viruses out of shellfish. And what has this done? This has allowed us to open areas that were otherwise considered to be permanently closed. So Mr. Huber talked before about pie and making pie. It was funny that I had sort of the same analogy, is by allowing some of these areas that are a little closer to wastewater treatment plants to be opened, we basically created more pie. We're not just figuring out how to allocate the existing pie amongst different harvest groups. So what does this really look like? This is a shot of the Royal River, where we were able to open this growing area with the assistance of FDA and with the state, and we've provided employment for 20 harvesters for 4 summers and 22,000 bushels of clams that came out of there. Skin in the game is kind of a play, but there is a myth of metals contamination, and what we need to do is acknowledge the fact that the lead accumulates in the skin that's on the clam that you pull off and do not consume at rates significantly higher than it accumulates in the clam itself. Current sampling techniques and work that was done by the DEP do not remove that skin, therefore you're testing a non-edible portion. And what this is doing is it's keeping a number of growing areas closed in Maine, and we're working to try to resolve that issue, and we'll be talking about it again later in this session. Another issue that we run into frequently is that of poaching. And this is an age-old problem. Closed areas tend to have a lot of clams in them. Wherever there's a lot of clams, you're going to have people poaching. We can try to make lemonade out of lemons, because traditionally depuration was also used in addition to making clams and other products safe for consumption, but to reduce the standing stock that was in some of these marginal areas incentivizing or allowing harvest in these areas for depuration purposes, you're going to save enforcement dollars. If you knock down those standing stocks, you're going to facilitate or save the Marine Patrol an awful lot of effort, and because they're going to know where the harvesters are, you're going to put the harvesters to work, and you have controls in place to ensure that the clams are made safe for consumption and that they don't go directly to the open markets, and the department needs to facilitate the opening of these areas for depuration. In terms of our numbers, we do a number of different species in our plant. We do American oysters, we do little neck clams, soft shell clams or Maine clams, and we can do European oysters when there is an abundance of those. We have the capacity for about 3,000 bushels a week. We employ 10 to 20 people depending on what time of year it is. This time of year, there's not many people in our plant. We certainly wish there were more this time of year. We have the certified lab. We work with many dealers in Maine, and last year we packed and sold over 47,000 boxes of shellfish. So that's almost 20,000 bushels. And this is with regard to clams. 100% of them come from Maine. We paid over $1 million directly to Maine harvesters in terms of the checks that we write on site. We paid over $600,000 to the other Maine open area dealers that we work with. And then all of these clams were processed in Maine. From there, we take them and we deliver them to Boston, New York, or send them to New York or bring them up to Portland. Just some interior plant shots actually inside the cooler. And we also, this is a shot of somebody harvesting little neck clams. And in the background, you can see some of our oyster cages where we have started growing some oysters again. We started with quite a bit of aquaculture many years ago and then are just getting back into that again now. And two of our college students that we employ during the summer, again, there's a lot of handwork involved in this industry, and they will wash and cull and sort out the ones that are broken or dead or unacceptable for market and count them into boxes. And just a shot of our laboratory. We test shellfish waters, and we test shellfish meats. We do daily water tests of our processed water to ensure that our tanks are not contaminating shellfish, to ensure that the water is good and clean. We have a number of other controls, but that's just one of the many controls that are in place. And then we also test the shellfish meats themselves. And this is a shot of our most recent summer intern. We usually hire an intern for the summer. This Crystal is from the University of New England and worked for us last summer doing all of the work in the laboratory, and in particular here she's running the virus test. Challenges that we have is resistance to opening areas, and somehow we need to have areas prioritized for opening. People depend on open areas for clamming. Clammers need to work. The people who drive our trucks need to work. The people who pack the clams need to work. And somehow we need to keep that all moving smoothly. And your challenge, and what you can help us with, is developing new resources, encouraging the utilization of the existing resources that we have, encouraging innovation, and insisting on the best methods and technology be used, all while preserving public health. And I'm sure that this committee, as your previous committees, is up to that challenge. And I invite you to reach out to Tom or to I at any time with questions about the shellfish industry. And also, should you have the opportunity to come and visit us down in Elliott. I know that from time to time the committee is able to make trips out, but I think you'd learn a lot coming down and really seeing what it looks like firsthand. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Questions or comments? No? Yes, Representative. What, Jay McCree? Not on. There you go.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm wondering about what makes a bed restricted. You mentioned proximity to wastewater treatment, and I wondered what specifically is the risk. What the issues are?
Well, there can be many issues. It can be failing wastewater. Septic systems from homeowners. It can be dog and cat waste. It can be the wastewater treatment plant that you mentioned. It could be marinas. And then there's non-point source pollution, which is basically large amounts of contamination or contamination that's above acceptable levels that come from sources that can't particularly be identified. For example, in the Piscataqua River, we know that there are many actual sources, but there's so many sources that flow into that river as it flows out that you can't really expect to identify and remediate each particular one of those.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, if your
welcome.
Water is contaminated, do you have a flush-out system, or what happens?
You mean in our facility itself?
Yeah.
First of all, it isn't, but we have many ways of cleaning it. When we do our water tests, if we even see a preliminary, you're actually looking for bubbles in the test tubes, so if you see a bubble, it doesn't necessarily mean it's positive, but we treat it as if it is, and then we go and do all the confirmatory tests. But right away, when you see that bubble, we take steps to ensure that all of our plumbing lines are clean, to ensure that our large ultraviolet light treatment units are working properly. We can change bulbs. We have means of cleaning the pipes and a number of other things to make sure that that water stays clean.
Thanks.
Thank you, and thank you, Representative Hawker. Really good question. So if there is contamination, you don't need to shut the whole facility down?
No. The way the rules are written is you take action, we retest. We have 30 years' experience at this, and operate a really good facility, and we do not need to shut it down if we see that preliminary bubble that shows up, and it's never gone beyond that.
Great. Thank you very much. Any other questions? Chairman Kamiga.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just on the contamination issue, I mean, that can be statewide. If we have a heavy rainfall,
exactly,
close all the clam flats in the state.
Unfortunately, that's the case. You tend, anybody who's been around this industry a long time, you tend to see statewide flood closures or flood closure for large portions of the coast. The department's gotten very good at picking away at, you know, closing a large chunk and then doing the monitoring right away to try to minimize the extent of those closures, both geographically and time-wise.
Green crabs? Has that have they impacted, or do you think they've impacted your business much?
I think that moving forward, we foresee that there will be a shortage of clams or reduced numbers of clams in the next few years. There does seem to be a lot of set that's out there in flats, and the damage done by green crabs certainly is there, and some areas are much worse than others. Is that our only problem in terms of why the numbers of clams are low? I don't think so, but it certainly is a contributor.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.